Hello.
Oh, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot. You Forgot podcast with me, your host.
Hello.
Not hello, with me, your host, Adam Richmond. This is the show in which we chat about the movies that you forgot, and never has that been more true than of today's special 100th episode.
This is the show. You forgot to introduce me, though.
No, I'm still going.
I'm the star.
I always come back.
I know, it's just that usually you introduce me as the star before you say that next bit, and I thought, I don't know if you're trying to say the audience are the star because of today's format, but I would like to be acknowledged now.
You're about to be.
So do it.
You forgot, and you're the hero. But of course, actually, the real hero is joining me as ever.
Yes,
and
yes.
He's been buzzing in our ears.
Thank you.
'Twas ever thus. It's Mr. Joe Devine.
Hello, thank you. I'm so happy you've introduced me as a hero. I feel like that on a daily basis, but it's great to have a reaffirmation when I'm around other people. So thank you, Adam, the host.
Anyway, this is the show where we chat about the movies you forgot. And it's the 100th.
Which one actually is it? Is it 105? 104? Doesn't matter, though, because it's 100,
doesn't matter.
Isn't it?
It's 100. This is the 100.
Yeah.
And this is the episode that Joe never wanted to do. He would have happily kept the joke alive whereby we would never, ever, 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 ever do a choice of the listener.
Yes.
So this is where I'm the hero.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because I let the listeners in. And they've chosen, haven't they?
Well, you're absolutely right, Adam. The winner was Quantum of Solace. So that's what we're talking about today. The I guess it's the sort of sequel to the first Daniel Craig James Bond film. And it won with 33.7% of the vote. So it was it was a landslide winner, we should say. Worth saying that folks
worth saying that it's not a sequel. I think any film in a franchise is not a sequel.
I mean,
even that
it's much more of an immediate sequel to Casino Royale than the other two films are to Quantum of Solace. I for sure that's the case.
But
let's wait. before you jump down my throat about James Bond, let me tell you what else could have been on this episode.
As if I'm going to jump down your throat about James Bond.
You already did. You literally just did.
Now, as if I do that.
Oh my
God.
I'm just in the Discord. 0004. It's worth saying the voting system here was that people could vote for multiple options, as many as they like. So all that 33% means, it didn't mean that 33% of people only voted for Quantum of Solace and nothing else. It means that 33% of the voters wanted to hear Quantum of Solace. In second place, would you believe it, was Sin City.
What?
With about 25% of the vote.
That could, because when we were chatting about it last, you source code was right up there. And
yeah.
I was champing at the bit for people to vote for, in my head, for Source Code. But
well, similarly, in third place with 22% of the vote was Watchmen.
There's a couple tied
on about 21%. Attack the Block was one of them. Master and Commander, Rusty Crow was another, as was Toy Story 4. And just looking for what was the film you just talked about?
Source Code, did it just plummet?
Source Code's only on 19% of the vote. It's in the upper mid table, but it's in the middle of the pack. It got as many votes as John Carter. No, as many votes as National Treasure did.
Oh, boo. I mean, it's a shame that you don't want to do more of these, because I'd love to do Attack the Block. I'd love to do Watchmen. I'd love to do Sin City.
Yeah.
But they'll never get a look in.
Well,
because I'd never allow them to pass.
Fuck's sake. No, I think the thing is, now that we know the audience want to hear these, I think we probably will rope some of them in. Before we move on, though, I'm going to tell you that there were 5 films on our list that received only 1 vote, and there was 1 film that nobody wanted to hear.
That's
off quite a number of voters as well. So it's pretty incredible that they got so low.
Is this where you shame? Are you going to shame who said who said the films. Maybe. They'll just know, right? They'll just know.
They're all yours. They're all the ones you wanted to be on here.
Okay.
There's actually six with one. So Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps got one vote.
Yeah, of course.
A Life Less Ordinary got one vote.
That's obscure, and I think that's fair enough. I would like to have done that, but there's no shame for that movie.
Sure. Hero.
Gutted gem. Ooh, that's got a sting, gem. That's got a sting.
Syriana only got one as well, so they're really not interested in more of your man, of George. The Lovely Bones got only the one vote.
Yeah.
As did The Peacemaker.
Yeah, these are just, they're lesser known. They're genuine Forgot You Forgots, and people who are listening, I think maybe we've got a younger listenership.
Maybe. Well, the film that had zero votes, The Girl with the Pearl Earring. But yeah, Quantum of Solace, way, way out in the lead there. Very clear that people wanted to hear us talk about Jammer de Bond.
Jams Bond.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
I'm just going to dive in. Let's just go straight in, okay? Because that's what the show is.
Yeah.
Quantum of Solace, the 2008 flick, directed by Mark Forster. It's 106 mins. Guys, gals, this Bond flick, this Danny Craig Bond flick, is 106 mins. Should we have a quick look? I don't know. Should we just have a quick look at what the run times are for the other Danny Craig Bond films are?
Yeah, absolutely. And then let's talk about how long this one feels versus those.
No, that'll be for later.
Well, there's Spectre, there's Skyfall, there's Casino Royale, and then there's, what was the most recent one? No Time to Die, I think it was called.
Casino Royale is 144 mins.
That's long, yeah.
Skyfall, 143 mins.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar to Casino Royale.
We're back in 220 territory.
Spectre, 148 mins.
Yeah, unacceptable.
No Time to Die, although exactly the time to die when you're watching this film. It's 163 mins.
Was it really 163?
2 hours and 43 mins.
Yeah, it's way too many mins for a film like that. It's far, far too many mins. I would say, because of those films, I don't want to, you know...
Wait, don't spill your load.
All right,
don't
fine.
Tell us what you think about...
Fine,
just talking about mins. We're talking about mins.
We're talking about mins.
Okay. Well, the clock.
One of those films uses its mins more economically than the others.
Let's get to that when we get to that.
But I won't say which one. Yeah. And just in terms of how long the movies feel, Quantum of Solace feels like it's 1,000 mins long.
Okay, well, you've already said it. I'm going to tip my hand. This movie flew by for me.
Really?
It's my second favourite James Bond. No, it's my second favourite Daniel Craig.
I mean, I guess that's fine because all the other ones are rubbish. So, you know.
Okay. Well, okay, fine. It's my second favourite James Bond movie of all time.
It's your second favourite James Bond movie of all time.
Yeah, we've decided they're all rubbish, and this one is definitely my second favourite.
You're such a contrarian. Did you do this for fun? Right. Are you doing this knowingly, or is this like a kind of unconscious level of contrarianism?
Well, let's find out. You're going to dig in. You're going to dig into me.
I'm going to dig so deep. I mean, I'm not... Listen, the audience voted for this film, and so I'm here as an elected member, Adam. I am not letting this get by. This is absurd. This is the lowest you've ever dropped. Okay, come on. Let's get on with it.
Here's the letterboxed. Betrayed by Vesper, the woman he loved.
Not a sequel, though. It's not a sequel, though, of course, even though it's not a sequel.
I don't think it counts as a sequel.
I mean, the first line of the blurb there refers to a character in the previous film that isn't even in this film. That's a sequel.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's a sequel. It is the most sequelized of sequels. As Joe's right.
It's the sequeliest.
It's the sequeliest. 007 fights the urge to make his latest mission personal. Pursuing his determination to uncover the truth, Bond and M interrogate Mr. White, who reveals that the organization that blackmailed Vesper is far more complex and dangerous than anyone had imagined. That is not the description of a movie.
No.
So you couldn't really describe... Quantum of Solace in a... Right about this point, this is where you chime in with an IMDb.
Would you like me to?
Yeah, that's what... Like, because that doesn't count as the story. There's no story in there. That's just all character motivation, which is there. And it's also why I quite like this movie.
James Bond tries to stop an organization from eliminating a country's most valuable resource.
Okay, brilliant.
That's what it says. That is what it is, right?
I mean, it's quite hard to unpick that in this quite confusingly told movie. It stars Danny Craig as James Bond,
yes.
Olga Kurylenko as Camille,
yes.
Although I don't believe she's ever named or referred to by her first name. Matteo Almeric, he's the baddie.
This is the guy.
Yeah. It's the Dominic. It's the diving bell and the butterfly guy.
Yeah.
He's just phenomenal.
And for listeners who haven't listened to every single episode, we covered the film The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, which has Matthew, what's his name? Almeric. Playing the lead. He's an absolute terrific actor. I actually quite like this Bond villain. I know he's one of the ones that's sort of a little bit less...
He slept on, man. This villain is a little slept on.
He's less celebrated for sure. I quite enjoy what Matteo does with this character. It's one of the only things I like about the film, I'll be honest.
Can I say, please, just, you know, you don't have to...
You want me to call it?
You don't know, you just don't have to caveat everything, anything nice you say about this movie. We know you hate it.
Listen, okay, look.
Just say something nice.
I'll try and say something nice, okay? How about this? What's the name? Keep doing the cast for a second. What's the name of the redhead English?
Gemma Arterton plays Strawberry Fields.
I really like it. Danny Craig, when he walks into the hotel room and then he says, "Do you want to help me find a pencil?" And then she goes, "Oh." And then I like that bit of the film. I didn't like any of the film. That's a caveat at the end there. I didn't like any of the film. It's a terrible film.
I like the fact that she's called Strawberry Fields. She's never referred to as Strawberry. She just says Fields.
Sure.
Going back to Matthew Almeric, he's phenomenal in Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Yes.
That film is a must-see for everyone.
Yeah.
And he speaks to the deep problem of the Bond movie where they just hire whatever Oscar winner or like exciting, interesting actor was knocking around, especially if they're foreign, as the baddie.
Because he's just done that film.
Yeah. And that's where you get Mads Mikkelsen in Casino Royale, and that's where you get Rami Malek in No Time to Die, and that's where you get Javier Bardem.
Who's the top creepy, seedy Europeans out there, right?
And the thing is, they make them creepy, and they're like, oh, these are great actors, and they're foreign, let's make them creepy.
Yeah. They have unusual faces, though. Mads Mikkelsen, Javier Bardem, Matteo Almeric, they all have quite unusual facial features so they're sort of easier to make creepy than most.
You're gonna get me off topic here, because this is why Quantum of Solace is head and shoulders above most Bond movies, because it refuses to do what most Bond movies do. It doesn't give the baddie some weird, horrible tick. Mads Mikkelsen, he cries blood. You know, Javier Bardem, he's got no teeth. And there are so many other little things that the Craig Bond movies and most of the other Bond movies they do. There's like loads of branding. There's a weird Bond baddie with some horrible disfigurement.
Yeah.
And then there are all these other like sort of stock things. And Quantum... Whatever you think of it, not only is it 104 mins, its baddie is just like this sort of, it's a quite weak, but also kind of compelling oddball. But he hasn't got like a disfigurement. The disfigurement is held for the Bond girl, very rare. There's barely any branding, although if you can see it, it's very blurred. And then those are the two.
Those are the two things.
But this is a Bond movie. If you want to rate this as a Bond movie,
yeah,
it is more interesting than most Bond movies in that it it doesn't do those things, and it's right at that point where there's not too much CGI in the action. The action is still very physical. It feels like it's shot on film. I don't know if it was. The plot is a bit of a mess, but it doesn't have a ludicrous, that's what it doesn't have. It doesn't have a ludicrous world ending baddie who's got a big bomb and he's going to blow the world up. And that's what all the other Bond movies does. Like, I didn't like this movie when I saw it in the cinema. Casino Royale came out hot. This is great. This is what Bond should be. And then Quantum comes out and it's like, what? This is rubbish. But like rewatching it compared to Skyfall and Spectre and No Time to Die, these bloated, pathetic, rubbish, like brand-soaked, cunty films. Ugh! No, man. In comparison, Quantum is like this like light, fun little action movie. I'd eat this up. And I know why you don't like this.
Why?
And I'm going to say one word to you. Bourne. This is why you don't like this movie, because it's got all the Bourne knockoffs that you hate. There's the parkour.
Sure.
There's the punchy, 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 fight things, and you're thinking
there's the clambering over the European rooftops and jump. I mean, there's literally like the ripping of jumping through the windows into the balconies, and there's a lot of Bourne in it.
Jason Bourne didn't invent that, by the way.
No, I understand. I understand. But I think that's not the reason I don't like the film.
No, I needed some kind of like little shield to imagine why you didn't like it, because I know it does have that. It's hugely in hoc to Bourne.
Yeah,
but I still think it does all those things very, very well, because I'm very, very entertained, and I think it executes the kind of shadow Bourne action perfectly fine. And as a Bond movie, I'm kind of interested that it's not doing all the other trad things that every other Bond movie does. And in retrospect, I'm quite sad that they bottled it and then turned it into this horrible, bloated series.
Okay.
That's what I'm really glad that the listeners voted for Quantum so I could revisit. I would never have rewatched this movie in a million years.
Okay. Okay.
Come on.
Those are some interesting things.
Hit me.
I think what you've done there is you, through your observational skills, you've found reasons to find Quantum of Solace interesting after watching it. Because all those things are interesting, right? The notion that they save the disfigurement for the Bond girl, the notion that the villain is... And that's the reason I like the villain as well. He's a little more ordinary. He's just kind of like a nihilist businessman. You know, he sort of represents corporate greed, which again is... It's a very kind of mid-2000s to 2010s sort of thing. I don't think they would have been building the villain in opposition to those other types of Bond villains. I think they were doing the same thing they were doing with the Bourne lifting, but which was to say they are they're soaking up the culture of the time, what people are interested in, who people find to be the villains in everyday society. I think that's probably like the genesis of this type of character. So I can see that those things are interesting, and I can see that, upon conversation about Quantum of Solace, that's a more interesting conversation than sitting down to watch Spectre and talking about how boring it was and how it's so much like all the other films. The problem I have, the thing I don't like about the film, is it's shit, it's boring, it doesn't make any sense. It's like there's absolutely no character stakes in it whatsoever. I'm totally uninterested in the story of the James Bond's past. It's not expressed in any way that makes that gives me anything to buy into. I don't really ever believe that there's anything to be shaken in the relationship between M, played by Judi Dench, and James Bond's character. I'm not interested in his emotional relationships with either of the Bond girls in this film. I think the villain is interesting, but also I'm not particularly interested in. I think it's interesting that they chose someone like him and that they tried to differentiate him from other Bond villains. But I'm not particularly interested in what he aims to do. I don't like these overtures to like a much larger shadow network of villains that will only be discovered later. It feels very comic book. It feels very Batman, which I think this film was also inspired by. And the Bourne stuff, I don't mind it that much. I think the pure action part of it is like executed fine. It feels very unoriginal, and therefore I'm just less enthralled to it than I would be watching Bourne. But also I watch it and it just reminds me of like all of the Bond films, which owe a lot to whatever was happening in the few years before they were made. Like this always happens with Bond. And I just find it like boring. If I could be emotionally invested in any way, I would be. You know me, how I watch films. I'm always seeking to find like what's the thing I can get in touch with here. Like what's the connection I can make with this film? Because I don't want to sit there for an hour 43 and just be bored out of my fucking brain. I don't like Skyfall. And I think Casino Royale gets more and more boring every single time I watch it, right? But both of them manage some emotional load. Like that, both of them, Casino Royale does this a lot better, and partly that will be down to Eva Green, who puts in a great performance as aforementioned Vesper. And also Daniel Craig brings like a lot of emotional pathos to the role in that first film that you aren't used to seeing with James Bond, previous James Bond actors. And in Skyfall, which is much more of the kind of Daniel Craig, Judi Dench playing M relationship, there's an emotional element to that as well. The thing that is lacking entirely from Quantum of Solace for me is any kind of emotional investment, emotional connection. I don't think that is like just a case of opinion. I don't think that is just me saying I personally found it boring. I think the writing of the emotional stakes is like objectively not as good as it is in some of the other films. So that's why I found it boring.
There's zero emotional stakes in any Bond movie. The only time that there was any emotional stakes would maybe be Casino Royale at the end, because you've got an amazing actor like Daniel Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There is zero. It's like it's there's nothing. Even in GoldenEye, like you've got the relationship between him and Sean Bean, and when Sean Bean says "For England, James," and Pierce Brosnan says "No, Alec, for me," you're like, "Oh, that's a nice payoff." That's not emotion. That's just like a nice little button on a film. Sure. Bond isn't about what you're talking about, and then also,
Daniel Craig's Bond is a bit.
He's what? Because he's just a great actor. But the fact is, he brings those like those moments in Quantum. But it's irrelevant whether they're there or not, whether you like it or not. It's they don't exist in the series, and so to judge it on that is kind of just holding. It's like saying, "Oh, there's not enough."
They do.
They're there
in
Quantum. I disagree. Like they're not. Well, no, there's a whiff of it in Casino Royale because he's such a great actor, but there's nothing in Skyfall. It's not, and there's nothing in everything after. Like it's just they're all shitly made movies, and the fact that this is 104 minutes and it whips along and the action's really good and it's loads better. I tried to watch the beginning of Spectre, and it's this big CGI horrible Day of the Dead bullshit. There's no weight to it. It looks like shit. It's boring and it's completely removed from any kind of fun. The fact that this was made when it was, it just means that it's just like so much more watchable. I enjoyed watching it. I didn't after the fact go, "Oh, let me think of some things to wind Joe up about." I was like, I genuinely enjoyed rewatching this because I thought this is a Bond movie. They're supposed to be, they're shit. They're all shit movies. Watch Octopussy. It's fucking dross. They're all dross. There is no emotional thing in any of them.
I think those films are all shit. Just to be clear, no, I think every Bond film apart from Casino Royale is a shit film. They're obviously shit. You keep talking to me as if I'm saying they're great or they're defending them in any way. I'm not. They're nothing. They're nothing films. I will never watch them again. I'll draw a line under it and say I'm delighted that you had a good time. I think you are an exceptionally creative guy and with a fabulous eye for like whatever observations are gonna make you excited. For me, this film was a time in my life I wish I could get back and do literally anything else apart from watch, because it's vapid, vacuous, nothing, dross. That I will never, ever watch again, ever, ever, ever. And I'm angry that the audience have made me watch it. And I love Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig's great. I think Daniel Craig's amazing. He's a terrific actor. He's the best Bond, obviously. He's the best Bond by a million miles. And this film was still boring, you know? They worked hard to make it bad.
Find him, Hidai. Run, you'll have to. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemy that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Let's talk about Craig as the best Bond, because you're not wrong. But after this, if Skyfall, Spectre and No Time to Die are so horrible, which they are, it doesn't make sense, because he becomes this purse-lipped preening beefcake in a tight, tight suit. And in those last three films, like, maybe, okay, fine, he gets some emotional payoff in Skyfall. That seems to be the fan favorite.
So weird.
So there's some good stuff in that. The finale is very Home Alone. And then there's like, what are you talking about? It's all lots of lore. Well, I don't want James Bond to be about lore at all. Like, the guy should have no history. And then it's just like, let's pile on history, more history. Let's give this guy, who he's unknowable, let's make him known.
Well, it's a reflection of our time.
Yeah, which is what Bond is, isn't it? Bond's a reflection of our time.
Yeah, when they go back in future, I don't know what it will be like in the future, but in 100 years, when some poor young person is doing a film studies course taught by ChatGPT, and they look back at the different Bonds, and, you know, one of the things they'll talk about is how Daniel Craig's Bond was a Bond that helped transition Bond out of the sexist zone. You know, there's that, like, this Bond did that. But also, I think, like, the main thing about this Bond, it did what all the others did, in that it reflected the society it was part of. But the society that it's part of is one obsessed with the past, obsessed with trauma, obsessed with getting to the root of our problems, obsessed with blaming history and, like, tracing back through generations and trying to understand, you know, melancholy. That's what, you know, we're all doing this inside of our own heads. We're obsessed with individualism, and that's what Daniel Craig's Bond is. He's like a big, wet, dripping reflection of all of that. And so in some ways, it's kind of impossible that there could be a Daniel Craig Bond series of films when there was that didn't do the digging back into the past to find out who he was and what was wrong with him. Because, well, for two reasons. One, it's necessary for a mainstream audience now to, in order for them to try to like or sympathize with the character, they need to feel as though they have some understanding or some reason as to why, you know, he is the way he is. But also because it's, you know, it's what literally everyone in society does. If they could get away with giving Bond a therapist, they would.
Yeah, I think that's what people think they want, but they don't actually. And again, it's why I'm going to go briefly back to Quantum, which was a bit refreshing about it. It felt it felt quite unreconstructed in the way that, for example, he just manages to pull Agent Fields. He's just met this woman who's maybe 30 years younger than him. She's all like very stiff upper lipped and stiff upper lipped. She's stiff upper lipped and she's all like fussy and all about rules. And he's just like, no, we're not doing that, sweetheart. Let's go here. And then they get this swank thing and he's like, help me find a pencil. And then they bone.
Yeah. It was 2008 though, right? Like it was pre-Me Too. It was it, like, this is why I'm saying that, like, James Bond throughout that period, throughout Daniel Craig's Bond life, they've edged further and further away from those sorts of things. I don't think you wouldn't find something as cavalier as that scene with Miss Fields in a later Bond.
Yeah, and I think that's a shame because it's this nonsense that, like, Me Too invented progressive awareness about how to treat women. They were talking about this when they did it with Pierce Brosnan. Like, Pierce Brosnan in GoldenEye, like, the idea, like, they reinvented M as a woman, and she says to him in the opening of that, they name it, they hang a hat on it, and they're like, you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur. They did it already. Bond is sexy and he wants to have sex. That's the fucking point of the character. Skyfall and Spectre and the third one completely de-sexed him, and, you know, fine. They give him a girlfriend and they're like skipping their hands through. There's just nowhere to go for that guy. It doesn't make any sense. So, like, why make the movie? Why make a movie about a spy who can fuck anyone he wants and then say, oh, no, hang on a sec, he's too respectful and he thinks about things. Just don't do the movies.
But you're drawing a lot of, like, hard and fast lines, black and white lines through super grey areas. I mean, yes, they had acknowledged feminism before, and yes, feminism existed before Me Too. I'm not denying that's the case at all. I think critical mass of audience desire was reached around 2016, and I think that you can do a nod to it in a Pierce Brosnan era without needing to necessarily, or maybe a nod was simply enough. But yeah, and I'm also not denying that there's an audience that likes that kind of thing either. But again, it's about critical mass, isn't it? I mean, again, James Bond reflects the society that it is part of, and you're correct to say that the most recent James Bond films feature a sexless Bond. If James Bond doesn't make sense in this world anymore, in the same way that his character has stopped making sense in other ways in previous times, then the character evolves and changes. That's kind of one of the fun things about it, right? That's one of the reasons it survived so long. I think you remember when Daniel Craig became James Bond in the first place, everyone was upset because he was blonde, you know?
Yeah, they were outraged.
Because and he wasn't like what we thought Bond was supposed to be. And he evolved Bond a lot. And he did it by working with directors and writers that looked at what was happening around and...
No. It worked because Martin Campbell is a journeyman action director who knows how to shoot action. Bond is an action... It's an action movie. If the action's good, the movie's good. And also, Daniel Craig is an amazing actor. It was all... Like, you and me, we would have known Craig is going to smash this. And of course, the Daily Mail's like, they just want a headline. But, like, if you have a... Casino Royale is like, oh, let's take a little bit of Bourne. Let's just, you know, Bondify it. And I don't know how you could fuck that up with a great actor like Craig. And you go back to the source material. It's like, you know, manna from heaven. And every movie after that is diminishing returns.
Yeah, they do Casino Royale really well. And I also feel as though Casino Royale isn't very Bourne. I don't watch Casino Royale. And with the exception of the kind of, you know,
I meant the parkour, you know, the
yeah, the parkour ones. At the it's, beginning, it, like, yeah. But the rest of the action isn't really, you know, the rest of the action is Casino Royale's action scenes feel as though they have an authenticity. Like, they feel as though he feels like Bond. He breaks through the wall in that parkour scene at the beginning. Do you remember? He's chasing the guy. The guy's like doing all these great tricks, and he jumps up and pulls himself through a tiny gap above a door. And the joke is, how's Bond going to do that? And Bond just walks through the drywall. That doesn't feel like Jason Bourne to me at all. That feels like James Bond. And also, he feels like a new Bond. He feels like a fucking husky and thick-legged Bond that... Sean Connery couldn't have walked through the drywall. You know, like Daniel Craig, he brings a heft to Bond that wasn't really there before. And also, whereas I see Jason Bourne as this very kind of technical action hero, Daniel Craig's James Bond had an amount of brawn that wasn't found elsewhere. So in Quantum of Solace, when they have the little one-on-one fights in the domestic environments and they're using like the magazine or the saucepan or whatever, like that's very technical Bourne. That's aping Bourne. But walking through a drywall, beating the shit out of someone in a toilet, like smashing their head through a urinal like he does in Casino Royale, that's not Bourne. That's brawny Daniel Craig. That's a whole new Bond.
It's brawn,
yeah, and it's yeah. not even Mission Impossible. Like it's something that he does. It's more like Bane, you know. It's like he has a power that these other guys don't have, and they lose that more and more in some of these other films. So I actually think Casino Royale stands on its own as something not unique, but like something authentic and something which is original.
For one moment I don't have the balls to send a man out to die. Your instincts are dead wrong. I've no compunction about sending you to your death. But I won't do it on a whim, even with your cavalier attitude towards life.
I grew up watching the Timothy Dalton movies on telly, and I don't think I got to see them at the cinema. And then would have watched, and obviously the Connerys are knocking around. They're boys' own adventure spy movies. And this is what I was thinking, like Bond is a thing. Because back in the day, boys wanted to be spies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what, and then they, Bond becomes part of British culture and becomes a symbol. And it becomes bigger than the films. Bond is bigger than the movies. There's the Union Jack, there's punk, there's Bond, there's the Queen. Now you'd have, say, Harry Potter. The movies are almost incidental.
David Beckham,
not really. Like, we're talking about like global. Yeah, maybe. David Beckham certainly back, but maybe not anymore. The Spice Girls, Britpop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's annoying, you know, the hand wringing at the minute where it was like, who's going to be the next Bond? Like, it's an interesting story. It's like, it's just fodder for the news. And I was thinking, like, why do people care about James Bond anymore? Like, why do people care about this character? Because surely he's been usurped by Harry Potter. Because Bond's is for little boys, you know, like the nostalgia of a Bond movie was you watched it when you were a kid and you were like, I want to be a spy, and I want to travel the world, I want to kiss a pretty girl, and I want to be important. And then time's moved on, and then kind of culture broadens, and it's no longer just about little boys, it's about little boys and little girls. And all the things that they enjoy. And they enjoy, it's not only about spies. You don't want to fight for queen and country anymore. It's not about war, Cold War. It's about wizards. You don't want to be spies. You want to be wizards. You want to be Harry. You want to be Hermione. You want to be Ron. Okay. So like, this is what people care about now. And that's fine. I'm not having a go. I don't give a fuck about Bond or Potter. Mm. But like, so I get the hand-wringing about, say, the new Harry Potter TV series. What I don't understand is people's, like, this notion, this symbol, this Bond thing, it still kind of lives. It's still like this tumor in our culture, and it kind of needs to be kind of excised out because it's useless.
Well,
right?
Well, two things.
I hope it's two.
Thing number one.
I love it because it's two. I hope it's three. Please.
It might be. It could become three or four. Thing number one, though, of two. When you said it's not about war, it's not about Cold War before, you reminded me of that scene in The 40-Year-Old Virgin where there's the Indian clerk that works in the shop with them, where he's talking about pornography and different sexual positions. Remember that? And he says, it's not about the ass pussy or the pussy ass or the dick slurpy ploppy pants or the kangaroo butt fucking, you know? Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
No. I'd love to do a 40-year-old version on this.
I'd love to as well. That is quite a funny scene because he's a very funny actor and he's trying to tell Steve Carell's character it's about making love. It's supposed to be a sweet scene, but he lists all of these different sexual positions and says it's not about backdoor hussies and big bonking boners and you know.
Andy, don't let them bother you. It's okay not to have sex. Not everybody's a pussy magnet. You, what are you, 25?
I'm 40.
Holy shit, man, you got to get on that. Life isn't about sex. Life is about children and passion.
Yeah.
And the spirit.
Yeah, life's about passion.
It's not about fucking and balls and pussy. It's about love. It's about people. It's about connection.
It's all about connections.
But it's not about tossing salad. It's set up with cock and ass and tits and butthole pleasures.
It's not about butthole pleasures at all.
Thing number two. This is what Bond lives and dies on. Its ability to transition, Adam. Its ability to evolve from one thing to the next thing. I think you'll remember at the end of the Pierce Brosnan era, everyone was saying, hey, James who? He's dead. It's over. Let's move on, move past it. You know, these films are a laughing stock now. They no longer work. They no longer make sense. In this era. And guess what? Danny Craig came along, and whether we like the subsequent films or not, from a box office perspective, he knocked it out of the park. He got people talking about Bond again. He changed what Bond was. He evolved what Bond was. He was big enough to carry that burden. The question now is there another Daniel Craig? Is there a new person? I feel that the answer is no.
No.
But
no.
I don't know.
No, maybe you're right. It's not, there isn't. Right?
And,
there isn't.
And this maybe, world is maybe so you horribly wait toxic. For a while. I think the cleverest thing that they could do, the broccoli people, is...
No, it's not. They're not in charge anymore. They've sold
the
it.
Amazon broccoli group.
No, just Amazon.
Just Amazon. Just the cleverest thing Amazon could do, if they want to sustain Bond, if they want what they bought and what they presumably spent many, many millions on, this IP...
Billions.
If they want it to live into the future, and if they want to fulfill it in the means that they should, I think... The cleverest thing they could do is just wait. You know, I imagine that Jeff Bezos is planning on living for 1,000 years, right? I think he should just wait 5 to 10 years, let people simmer down about Bond, let people forget about it, and then he should come back with a sick-ass Bond TV series. That's what he should do.
And
he should give it time. Let people and you know then what you could have, I can imagine a world where, just like everyone said this to me about Andor over the last year, everyone says, oh, and have you seen Andor? And I say, no, I'm not really a Star Wars fan. They say, you don't need to be a Star Wars fan. If anything, it's better that you're not. You'll really, really like it. I'm sure that's true, by the way. I haven't watched Andor. I could imagine people saying the same thing about Bond. Say, oh, have you seen the new Bond series? And they go, not really. I'm not really a misogynist and I respect women. And he goes, no. It's not like that at all. It's like, it's actually better if you respect women. This is what Jeff Bezos has done for Bond. And his name is James Bezos. That's his name. That's what they should do. They should have him called James Bezos and they should have him played by Jeff Bezos. That's what they should do. That would work.
Joe.
Yeah.
What? Okay. No Time to Die came out in 2021.
Yeah.
And that was only because of COVID. It would have come out like a year before. It would have come out in 2020.
Yeah. 2020.
2020. It would have come out in 2020. The only reason it came out that late was because of COVID.
Right.
And then they had to retool it and it was a big shit show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're in 2025.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve has signed on to make the next Bond movie.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Denis Villeneuve of Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Wow.
The best possible director that you could ask to do this. It's 2025 now. We're near the end of 2025. The next Bond movie... Sorry, you made a face. We'll come back to that. The next Bond movie won't possibly be coming out until 2027.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about a six
at the earliest.
At the earliest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's being slept on.
They're going to wait longer. 2030.
I don't want that. I want Denis Villeneuve to knock out a Bond movie tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Come on, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Right. Let's just get it out of the way.
No, don't put... What,
no, come on, let's just get it out of the way. Come on, who's... Yeah, come on, let's just do
that's
it.
The most boring...
That's the most boring
chat in the...
Of course you would say that. Come on.
Boring chat.
You can't show up to this podcast and tell me that Quantum of Solace is your second favourite Bond film and then tell me that you don't even want to tell me who's going to be the next Bond.
I don't have one.
The audience want to know who would be your favourite
Bond. I want to be told... Look, when someone said... When they turned up and said Daniel Craig...
Yeah.
I went... Oh, of course, Daniel Craig.
Of course, of course.
That is what I want. I'm not in charge.
Okay, let me do a different thing with you.
I'm not in charge of picking.
Trust me.
Hang on a second. Let me just finish this one. I'm not in charge of picking the Bond. I want to be told it. And I don't care. Dev Patel. I'd love Dev Patel to be bing bang bong, Dev Patel.
Yeah, obviously it's Dev Patel. Obviously it's Dev Patel. If he were to be, you know, the next Bond, then you would assume that Monkey Man could be considered like his audition or whatever.
No, he's too good. He's too good and too big and too smart for it. He doesn't need it. He's an
artist.
Isn't
that what people said about Daniel Craig though?
No, because Daniel Craig was, he'd only just done Layer Cake, which was an audition, but Dev is, he's a director and he's been in. He doesn't need this shit. He doesn't need this hassle.
He doesn't need it, but like I believe that Dev Patel could evolve Bond.
I don't want him to. I just like Bond is beneath him and I want him to. I would want anyone like anytime anyone talks to Idris Elba, I feel so bad for him. It's like he has to have this conversation. It's like why everyone's projecting onto Idris Elba, who great actor. If there's going to be a black Bond, it's got to be Idris Elba. So let's keep asking you. So like, it's not happened. It's not real. And he has to engage this conversation as if it could be.
Sure.
It must be so tiring. It's just, it's unbelievable. And then like, would anyone?
Wesley Schneider nearly moving to Manchester United every year for Nicholas Gaitan, you know?
Jesus
Christ. These guys. Everyone was like, you're going to move to Man United every summer? Yeah. Is it this summer you're going to move to Man United this summer? Oh, maybe. I don't know. And then they never went there, you know? And even years later, people are like, oh, you should have gone to Man United. Like, it's nothing to do with me. I wasn't in charge of where I went, you know? What do you want me to do, you know? You should have moved to Manchester United. You never even played in England, never lived in England, you know? But should have played for Man United. That's the same thing.
It's exactly as it like should have been Bond. Is that what? No, I shouldn't. Also, I've stop asking me.
I'm 70 years old.
Let's ask Helen Mirren who she thinks Bond should be. Why? She's never been in a Bond movie.
She says Idris Elba, and he says I'm a bit busy doing the Sky Mirror adverts. You know, I haven't time. I've been a Sky ambassador for 100 years.
Yeah, she says, oh, I think Bond should be a man. Oh, great. We've asked an old woman, and she has decided on behalf of all old white women that Bond should be a man. That's the conversation decided. Let's print the headline. Argument over. Can we stop having the conversation? Why are we having this conversation? And it's basically a vehicle to discuss racism, sexism, everything like colonialism.
It's a culture wars sort of adjacent
Sack Bond off. The guy's dead. Yeah. It's boring. You know, you can't. The character is so overloaded with symbolism and meaning.
But you know that's never going to happen.
Like flags. So just burn it. Burn Bond.
You know it's never going to happen, though, right?
Yeah, because they've just paid $1 billion to the Broccolis for it.
So when you say, let Bond go, and you know it can't be true, do you seek not to sort of steer the vestiges into the least painful position?
I think all you need is Denis Villeneuve. Oh, God, hang on a sec. Fucking phone's calling. It never comes through on my... Hello. Sorry.
Hi, is that Adam Richmond?
Yeah, hello, speaking. Sorry, I'm just... Hang on. Someone's just called. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I'm a bit... Okay, who is this?
Hi. Sorry, I'm busy. This is Melinda McCartney calling.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say Melinda Messenger for a minute.
Not Melinda Messenger.
Is this Melinda Messenger?
What a callback.
God.
This is Melinda McCartney. I'm calling on behalf of Jeff Bezos. You might have heard of Jeff. He's, of course, the CEO and founder of Amazon. And he's unavailable at the moment, but he wanted me
is
to...
Is this about my Laps Prime subscription? I just didn't think there was enough stuff on there. On Prime, and I had to let it lapse.
No, it's not about...
It's not? Oh.
Well, no, I mean, I'm calling on behalf of Jeff Bezos. Did you think he'd want to call you because you've let your Prime subscription lapse?
Well, I thought that's how he made his millions. I thought that's how he called people personally and you know, you look after the pennies and the pounds will look after you. Is that not... Is it something else? Is it more important?
It's mostly about global shipping infrastructure, I think, as opposed to call services. But anyway, that's by the by. I've been asked to call you.
Right.
It wasn't, just to be clear, it wasn't my choice. I've been asked to call you because we are running.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Why did you feel the need to flag that?
Well, because I wasn't really sure. Moments ago, you thought perhaps I was calling on behalf of Jeff Bezos because your Prime subscription had lapsed. So I wasn't really sure. I wanted to make it as clear as possible what the circumstances were. I'm calling on behalf of someone else. So when I say it wasn't my decision, I just wanted you to know, in case you were confused about what this situation is, that me, Melinda McCartney, I hadn't chosen to call you. I'm simply calling you on behalf of my boss, Jeff Bezos, who again is the CEO and founder of Amazon. Is that clear?
But of all the phone calls I've ever had, I've never had such particular specifications of like,
right.
Everyone generally, they've had like the ego. There's an ego freeness here that I don't get here. Like you seem to be.
There's an ego freeness.
Yeah, and here like you're resentful. Like I didn't mean to offend you. Did I offend you?
A little. Yeah. To be very honest with you, I know this is unprofessional. Now I'm straying out of my out of bounds. But a little bit, yeah. You when you started the call, I found that you weren't very attentive to me. You were talking to someone else in the background. You mumbled your way through that first sentence. You said sorry 7 times, but it wasn't clear what you were apologizing for. And I think it just got us off on the wrong foot. And I'd like, you know, I called with an idea of what to talk to you about, but we're in probably minute 4 of the call now, and I feel as though I've been stymied from my professional duty. So if you're picking up some resentment, I'm sure I could have projected some of it. We don't know each other, Mr. Richmond. So it's possible, you know, that I have something to apologize for. But you asked, you know.
No, sorry, I did ask. You've You've really pulled my pants down. So I'm in a phase of my life where I'm trying to be emotionally honest with people. I feel like I'm a antagonistic force in the world, and I wrong people. And historically, I've done that. And in the past, I thought I was the hero of my life, and I've wronged people, and I'd walk away from that interaction as if I was pristine. And I'm coming to the point in my life where I realize actually I'm actually malevolent, you know, and I'm still acting malevolently. And I'm trying to catch myself acting malevolently and apologizing as I do it. And it's ending in this kind of interaction whereby I do the horrible thing and then I swiftly apologize. And then we get snarled up in this thing. And I'm trying to be better, but it's not working.
And then you overshare.
And then I overshare.
Right, yeah.
And then the person I'm talking to, they just zone out because all they wanted to do was like say, hi, how's it going at work? Or here's a coffee. And then I just like unleash.
You call them Melinda Messenger?
Yeah, you know, because it sounded like you said
as if
hi,
I haven't heard that before. You know, my name is Melinda McCartney. I grew up in the time of Melinda Messenger. She was very popular. And all my life, people have been saying, oh, a bit like Melinda Messenger. And I said, well, not really. just the same first name. Second name begins with M. So in that sense, there's something else a bit similar, but it's not the same. I didn't call you and say, hey, are you the guy from Man versus Food, even though I did think of him first.
Yeah, no, I have had that before. But like, are you a busty?
Excuse me.
Is that rude? Are you, I don't want to say you deserve it, but like,
did you ask me if I was busty?
Are you busty? I mean, you've called me out of the blue. Are you not recording this call? Are you?
I mean. Yes.
Oh, Christ.
All Amazon customer support calls are recorded as a matter of practice. I think the robot would have said that before you answered the phone.
Why did you call? Sorry, Melinda.
Well, I think it's sort of much of a muchness now. I called again on behalf of Jeff Bezos, who had heard. Let me just check my notes. Hold on.
Sorry, what?
Jeff says he listened to your podcast where you talked about the genius of Quantum of Solace and he wanted to interview you for a role in the writing team of the new James Bond TV series. But he wasn't sure if you'd be interested because you've repeatedly said you didn't give a fuck about it or who was involved. So that's why I'm calling. I was calling to set up some time for you to talk to Jeff. I want to let you know, though, I will be including in my report that you asked me if I was busty. Well, I think that's everything, Mr. Richmond. I think I will let Mr. Bezos know that presumably you are interested in a further conversation and that he can call you at his leisure. Is that okay?
Yeah, can you just get him to call? I've got a colleague. He's called Mr. Joe Devine. Can you? Just
oh,
get
I'm
him to
sorry,
call?
Mr. Richmond. We actually called Mr. Joe Devine before we called you. Obviously,
what did he say?
He said he wasn't interested in being part of such a project. So.
Did he say why?
Yeah, he said he's above Bond.
But above like having an opinion or what?
He said that he was very interested in who would be the next Bond, but he had no interest in participating.
It's weird that he wouldn't have any backbone to say why he would not have an opinion about any of those questions that you asked me.
He had opinions about them. He just didn't. He didn't want to choose. He didn't want to be part of the project to choose. But he regaled me for hours with thoughts about Bond and who should be the next Bond, and it was very interesting.
But he didn't want to share them. Didn't want to share.
No, he did. He shared them with me.
So what are they then?
Well, he said that he thought the next Bond should just be Dev Patel.
Wait.
I always like doing so. Somehow, it feels like going down a hill.
Okay, well, let's play the box office. It's been a long time since we've played the box office game. I've forgotten all the things I say. But let's do it for the film Quantum of Solace, colon James Bond, colon Daniel Craig.
Do you know why it's called the Quantum of Solace?
No.
Do you not know?
Do they never say it in the film, do they? It's not one of those films.
No, because it doesn't make any sense. It's a quote from one of the Bond books. I don't know which one, but Fleming.
I don't know which one.
Book of the same name. I don't know which one. Fleming. It's a Fleming bit of prose. And I remember everyone making fun of, like, well, what's a quantum of solace mean? And I was like, well, it's obvious. Like, it's not confusing. You know what a quantum is. It's a small amount. And you know what solace means. It means like, you know, making someone feel okay. It's just like a quantum of solace, like the smallest amount of feeling you can have for someone. It's not confusing. It's just like quantum is a very highfalutin word.
Yes, it's a sciencey word.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's evocative.
So what you're saying is the film should have been called James Bond Small Feelings for you.
It is in the book, I think, you know, Fleming writes about what a quantum of solace is, and it's the smallest amount of feeling you can have for someone in a relationship before you decide to fuck them off and the relationship dies.
Right.
And so it makes sense in the movie, like, you know, Daniel Craig as Bond, he's got a quantum of solace for Vespa.
Right.
He hates her. He thinks she's abandoned her and betrayed him. And then,
well, let's get a quantum of insight from you.
Yeah.
About what you imagine the box office was here. Let's begin with isn't it budget? It is. Let's begin with brackets estimated budget. How much do you think they spent on this film? Was it a quantum or was it more of a bondum? Bond ton.
They'll spend a pretty penny on this kind of picture.
Yeah.
What is it, 2008?
It's 2008 that the film is released. 2007. A huge financial crisis happened in 2007, of course.
It did, but the money's already been spent.
They spenny the money already.
Yeah, it's already
been
spent.
That's what you're saying.
I think it's so short because a lot of stuff would have hit the cutting room floor.
Right.
Gemma Arterton, she's all over the cutting room floor. But yeah, so they're going to spend money on all the, like, trying to, like, being in the edit, like, let's make this work. Some lovely, big sets, man. Big sets, 120 mils dolls.
Well, unfortunately, you're not really that near.
Oh, okay. No worries.
It's significantly more than that.
Really?
They spent an estimated $200 million on Quantum of Solace. That is a big old chunk of change. I mean, that's probably the most of any film we've ever covered on this podcast in a canonical format.
Brackets reported. Brackets, you know, was it really?
I don't know, but
they get so much money on the back end with these movies, Joe.
Right.
You know,
yeah, from you're the tax, not talking the about Adam Sandler again.
Tax breaks.
Opening weekend, US and Canada. By the way, I should say, if you really want to know what our Adam thinks of Adam Sandler, then you should just join our Discord channel because he's very liberal with his opinions in there. I guess it's a smaller group of people. There's less chance of being arrested and sued for libel. But head over to the Discord channel where you can watch Adam Richmond break the law in a public forum.
Am I actually breaking the law there?
Opening weekend, US and Canada. You'll remember, of course, Adam. This was November the 16th, 2008. What a wonderful period of history it was. How much do you think this movie takes on opening weekend, given how excited people were about Casino Royale, you know?
Well, I mean, Bond movies, Buffo, surely.
You would assume, one would assume.
It's still America. They're a bit leery of anything British. And we are talking American Buffo box office. Logan reached 60. This cost 200. That's insane.
It's a huge amount of money.
How much do Americans turn out for a Bond movie? I'd love to know this. I don't know.
You're about to find out.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I'm about to find out. I'll say 60.
67.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It's one of the bigger ones for us in canon world. Gross worldwide. Now, where does the gross worldwide take us, Adam? Of course, you've got the 10X. You could use that, a familiar old friend, the guide, the guiding hand. Or you could just stab in the dark.
Well, this nonsense of the 10X would suggest that a performer would get 10 times. So would get 700 mil.
If it was just a good, normal film.
Right, but that's not how...
Perfectly as expected
based on whatever. Yep. Obviously, Quantum comes out. It's very shit on. People don't like it, whatever reason. It's going to underperform. I know it's going to underperform, not based on the 10X. It's just going to underperform.
Hang on, are you using the 10X rule? It sounds like you're using the 10X rule.
I'm not. I'm just going to say it's going to underperform.
Underperform what?
If it costs 200 million and they have to pay, they're going to spend at least 100 million advertising it.
Uh-huh.
And they need to make, it should make at least 1.5 what they've spent on it to be considered a success. Uh-huh. So it should be making 500 million.
Uh-huh.
On my shit maths, I don't think it's going to make 500. Is it? Do people go and see it in any way? Maybe it makes 480 mil.
Is that your locked in guess?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, fine.
Well, ye of little Bond, James Bond faith, Adam
James
Richmond.
Bond. I guess because they keep making them.
Bond strikes it. He strikes it large. It was 590 million. Nearly 600. Very close to 600 mil. Pretty crazy. Yeah. That's one of the best grossing films of all time right there.
Is it?
Well, I mean, if you make $600 million, you're in the top 30, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, of all time. Yeah. I guess you can say that kind of thing. Well, I think I'm going to give Quantum more credit for the story.
Oh, God.
It is about, very badly and ham-fistedly, about colonialism and corrupt governments and what governments do when they intercede in smaller nations.
Sure.
It is trying to genuinely, pathetically wrestle with interesting things that none of the following films tried to do. This is trying to deal with the geopolitics of South America, oil, water, exploitation of Haiti and Bolivia. It doesn't get this clean line through it, but it's really trying to do that. And Skyfall, Spectre, it's all just big bollocks, big built, boring bollocks.
Yeah.
So
actually, you're right. It's an amazing film.